Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming into our radio show this evening and participating. My name is Stars Christina, and I'd like to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio and Star Psychics. www.stars with a Z, because we're special. So when you spell out stars, spell it S-T-A-R-Z psychics.com. Anyway, this evening I'm going to be interviewing our top-notch astrologer, Stars JC. Hello, Stars JC, are you there?
Hello, Stars Christina. Yes, I am.
It's good to hear from you. Stars JC is a noted astrologer, and she leads in guided meditations, and she's got a very interesting story to tell us regarding her journey into astrology, and also some great points on what astrology is about. And when I was reading Stars JC's biography, I was really taken aback on the fact that you started in 1990 on Prodigy. So did I. Boy, did that bring back memories. So tell me about a little bit about your experience on Prodigy. And for those of you that don't know, Prodigy was before the internet. It was before the World Wide Web, if you will. It was basically a sort of an email, sort of chat. It was hard to explain, but maybe you can explain it. Tell me a little bit about Prodigy and your experience there.
Okay, Prodigy was proprietary software. They started out where you could send emails, and they had what they called bulletin boards.
Yes, I remember the bulletin boards. Those were really cool and fun.
And you could communicate with each other. It was charged sometime. It got to the point somewhere there that they were charging by the minute. And then they started charging for email, and there was a general uprising. And finally, we got them, you know, all civilization got them to back off. And right about the time that they started charging monthly fees, period, then they opened up chat rooms.
Right.
And I was very fortunate enough to be invited to join the astrology forum with a noted astrologer and her editor husband. And the rest is history, because I was dragged kicking and screaming into doing charts for people online. And it actually gave me more confidence, because up until that point, I had been doing charts by hand, which is laborious. And,
wow,
charts
by hand. Oh,
yes.
Gosh, I remember that from the 30s. No, actually, not that far away from the 50s, that my grandmother would show me some of the charts that she had made. I was born in the 50s, so.
Yes.
But anyways, so go ahead. I know how incredibly difficult it is to create a chart by hand, but please tell us a little bit more.
You have to have a little book called an ephemeris that gives you the planetary positions for the year the person was born, and then you have to have a slide rule, because you have to figure out sines, cosines, all sorts of stuff, and you have to be able to add seconds of arc, which doesn't make any sense to people, I know, but you have to correct for where the person was born all the way to Greenwich Mean Time, which is the Greenwich Observatory in England. And then you have to translate that by adding so many minutes and seconds so that you can get the movement of the Earth included in there. And by the time you're done, you have a migraine headache, but you have a chart.
Well, that's really interesting, because I do astrology and I do horoscopes, but mine are very general. They're not specific to people. I'm more of a channeler and a psychic, if you will. But
right.
At the same time, astrology has always fascinated me. It's, to me, the gateway to spirituality in many ways, because that's where my interest came into even my abilities at that time. And but anyways, tell me a little bit more about your early internet days, because you've been there for we've been here trudging this path for 20 years on the internet, so it's really
yes.
interesting.
Yes.
You said you met some famous astrologers.
Yes, the owners of the forum brought in people. God, I'm going to be throwing names out there.
Go ahead.
I got to meet Martha Lang Westcott.
Oh, wow.
And I had an absolute ball with Kim Rogers Gallagher.
That's awesome.
She is so hysterically funny. And what we did during one of the chats was we constructed a chart for Miss Piggy.
Oh, how brilliant. Tell me about the chart for Miss Piggy. This is just great.
Oh, well, we had to look at her figure, and we had to look at her, not quite introverted personality. And then we started looking at the signs that enjoyed food, that enjoyed comfort. We touched on Cancer and Taurus. But then she's into kung fu and exercising and marathons and everything else. So we pulled out Sagittarius and we played back and forth with what would be her sun sign, what would be her rising sign, what would be her moon sign. And then where would her Mars be? Because, her interest in Kermit the Frog was where her Mars was. And then we kind of got into an offshoot of what Kermit was, and it was hysterical. I have it printed out in a storage locker, and one of these days I'll pull it out and type it up and publish it somewhere, because it was hysterical. And she kept throwing things in there, and it was amazing because she made perfect sense, and then she'd go, no, scratch that. But, there were others. Pardon?
What does the chart reveal about Miss Piggy?
Just the basic stuff. I think we said that she was Cancer with a Taurus moon.
Okay.
And Sagittarius rising, and then we kind of shuffled it around. But then Miss Gallagher was saying, she says, no. The ascendant will do this, that, and the other thing, and then the moon will do that, and we left it at that. And, it was an athletic pig. What can I say?
Wow, that's really cool. That's really a great story.
Well, it was that experience of doing that then led me, because I write for the e-zine that's attached to Planet Stars, which is the parent company of Star Psychics.
The e-zine is Mythic Living?
Mystic Living Today.
Okay.
And I've done a couple of those. I think I did the Easter Bunny and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and some of the others. I mean, they weren't as complex because I didn't have Miss Gallagher to help me. But, I kind of threw stuff out there. But remember, my whole thrust, even though I write for fun and I love to do people's charts, is that my whole being is shaped around psychology and potential, and that's what I use astrology for.
Oh, and that's great, because I was noticing also that you work with people. You came to realize that you had an ability to do a form of guided meditations to help someone advance their abilities. And that's interesting. And how do you use astrology to do this? Go ahead. Do you get insights into them and then guide their meditation according to who they are?
Exactly.
How does that work? Oh, okay.
Exactly. I will look at their potential. I will look at the birth chart, and then I will move the chart forward to the day that I'm talking to them, which would be called a progress chart. And again, with the advent of computers and computer software, it's just a couple of clicks of a button instead of having to sit there and sweat it out trying to progress it. But
right.
I look at where they are with the progress chart. and the potential that they have either used or that's still sitting and waiting in the wings. There was one woman, and she worked on the site with me. She was always talking about wanting a cabin in the woods. And I was able to do a guided meditation, and I had her describe the approach to the cabin and what the area was like. And then we went into the cabin, and she started explaining the different things that she could, quote, see, unquote. And I was able to see some fears come out, and we kind of worked around them. I found out that she wanted this cabin in the woods because she had an inordinate fear of water, lakes, rivers, the ocean, that kind of stuff. To this day, she still says to me, she says, JC, you made me like water, because now she takes a vacation in Florida on the beach. But it was a long process of, I don't know, the meditation itself was maybe half, three quarters of an hour, but it gave her something to think about. It gave her ammunition to face whatever it was, and I never asked her why or what, but somehow she's fallen in love with the beach and the ocean. She says she doesn't like to go in because she gets sticky with salt, but she says she loves it. She absolutely loves it, and she's been in that area during some heavy storms and just stood on the balcony and watched the ocean go mad. And back when we were on Prodigy together, she would have run and hidden. She wouldn't have even gone there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's the only thing that I try to do is give somebody a lens into themselves. And that's basically what I try to do with my astrology too. Look for the potential, talk about things. I had one man, I was just, you know, throwing things out. And at the end of the reading, he said, "You told me things that I have been thinking about and never told anyone. How did you know?" And I said, "Well, without getting technical, this part of your chart says this, and that part of your chart says that." And I was amazed. I will do a reading for somebody, and they'll look at me, you know, they'll say, "Well, wow, how did you know that?" And I don't know. It's just there. It's in the chart. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, what information do you need in order to create an accurate chart that kind of tells you a little, gives you a little insight on the spiritual part of this person, or a little insight on the person? What all info do you need?
Okay. To get the real insight into a person, you have to know the date, the day, month, and year. You need to know the place. And it's, if they were born in a hospital, it's the town the hospital was in, not the town that their parents were living in. And you really need to know the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the time sets the whole chart. When you look at the time that someone was born, what you're supposed to be able to do, day, night, whatever, is you can look out to the east and you can see a constellation coming up over the horizon. And it depends on how much that constellation has risen as to what degree the rising sign is. The zodiac, well, the world, the circle of the world is 360 degrees. And the zodiac is made up of 360 degrees, and each of the 12 signs occupy 30 degrees. So, okay, I have 9 degrees Pisces rising. If during the day you had been able to look out and see the stars, you would have seen a little bit of Pisces coming up over the horizon. And that gives you the very beginning. You can then look at a person's chart and say, okay, Pisces rules the first house on my chart. Aries rules the second house. The first house is pretty much what you look like. It's what you want the world to see you as. And then the second house is your possessions, what you think of them, what you think of yourself, your ego. And it goes all the way around for the 12 houses. Each one has a different meaning. Yes, I can do a chart without a birth time, but I can't really, really see how a person is meant to use their potential. If I have the birth time, then I can go and look in the ninth house and see, oh, this person has a longing for knowledge and higher education and might really be fascinated with foreign people, or maybe have parents or grandparents who were born in another country and who kept their heritage and their language. It's absolutely fascinating. But
it
yeah,
is.
Date,
it's
time, and place.
Fascinating work. And it's kind of scientific in many ways, and very different from numerology, obviously, but it's very scientific. And that's one of the things that's fascinated me about astrology all my life, basically, is the number of newspapers that actually pick up astrology columns and the number of people that read astrology, whether they believe or whether they don't believe. How do you suppose those folks come up with those horoscopes in the newspapers?
Well, what they do, they look, they might do 30 charts, okay, for each day. And then what they do, since these are sun sign astrology columns, they are not actually what, you know, like I say, I'm not a Pisces. I have Pisces rising. So I read the Pisces column for that day, and I get a little more information about myself than I would if I just read my sun sign. And you kind of blend the two together. But most people don't know that. So let's say you're an Aquarian and you only read the Aquarian column. And you say, well, about 50% of that is right. And you're exactly right, because you're only getting half the picture. You're only getting what your sun sign is.
Or a generalization of that, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, and they will look at, you know, they'll say, okay, let's say it's the first day of Aries, okay, the spring equinox. Somebody may be born that day, and they read it, and they go, oh, look at what it says for Aries for today. And they generalize. They just say, they put the sun on, they do a sun rising chart, so that the sun is sitting on the first house, on the ascendant. And they just generalize. They say, okay, Pluto's in this house, and Mars is in that house, and they're talking to each other, they're aspecting each other. And they just do, as you say, generalities.
Well, they're so fun to read, and I think that's why people pick up, always read the column, the astrology column, because it happens to be just fun to read. And that's something, even though astrology has so many more deeper insights. But another question I've kind of had is, you know, why is it the moment of birth rather than conception that's crucial to astrology? I mean, why don't, because probably we don't know exactly when everybody was conceived, but you know exactly when you were born. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, with software, you can do a conception chart, and they're pretty accurate to within like 24 to 48 hours.
Really? I didn't know that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I have two sons, and circumstances were such that my husband and I went away the same weekend 2 years in a row, and we were students, so you know, it was one of these things where we came home, we studied, we fell asleep, and that was it. I mean, that was our marriage. And I used software, and I ran the conception charts for each one of them.
Uh-huh.
And the dates fell within, you know, like the three-day weekend that we took. And I was absolutely amazed. It's all mathematics. They've got it all figured out. It's just, you know, I sat there and I go, holy cow, my secret's out. But, no, seriously. The chart begins when you take your first breath, because that is the first choice that you make.
I see.
Okay, that is the first conscious choice. And that's what life is. It's all yes, no choices. It's almost like we're sentient computers ourselves, because everything you do in your life is a yes or a no choice. Do I get angry at somebody? Yes or no. Am I hungry and do I eat? Yes or no. And your entire life is predicated on yes and no choices. And astrology gives you the potentials. It gives you the areas to watch for. It gives you where your talents lie. It also gives you, I guess, red flags. I mean, you know, somebody who has a Mars in their chart that has some problematic aspects to other planets might need to kind of think about their temper, how quickly they allow a conclusion to come into their head, what choice they make with that conclusion, yes or no. Do I blurt it out or do I just keep it to myself?
Right.
Okay. But it's yeah, to take that first breath is your first choice.
Oh, that's really interesting. And so that's a good way of looking at how astrology works, for sure, especially when we're spiritual beings having human experiences.
Yes.
So this really, you know, connects with that. One of the things I was going to ask you that people ask me sometimes is, what about Pluto? They now say it's not a planet.
It doesn't matter what status humanity gives it. It still has an influence. I mean, the moon's not a planet, and look at how much it regulates in us.
Exactly.
You know, it regulates the tides in the world. It regulates whether animals are daytime or nighttime feeders. It regulates our body fluids. It regulates, literally does regulate our sleep time and wake time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Why can't Pluto touch us too?
Exactly, because it is a known body to us and it has influenced us in some ways.
Right.
You know, and that kind of brings me to my next question about planets dominating, you know. For example, I am a Gemini, so my planet would be Mercury, right?
Right.
And then the planets, you know, how do they dominate in a, you know?
Okay, you have a ruling planet, quote unquote, that's determined by your sun sign. However, not everyone is that influenced by their sun sign's ruling planet. My ruling planet by that theory would be Saturn. And I've had astrologers look at me and say, forget Saturn. It ain't there. The only thing you got is big teeth and arthritis. That's about it from Saturn. But I have what I have dubbed the dynamic duo in my chart. I have Mars holding hands with the planet Uranus. They sit together within just a few minutes of each other. And they manifest through my entire life. Something aspects them, and I blow out light bulbs. Something strongly aspects them, and my computer dies. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I have people who are not into astrology at all. And, you know, I'll pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm not going to be on. Something happened with my computer. Oh, what's happening to your dynamic duo? So, I mean, Uranus opposed by transit. You know, your chart is there. It's a roadmap to your life. It's a static moment in time. But the planets still keep moving. Okay, they still keep transiting the universe.
That's another interesting point, too, because the planets, we're still going through the movement forward, everything. So how does that work with astrology and with us?
Well,
we got about 4 minutes, but...
Okay, what happens is the planets move around us, and again, with computer-generated software, which I absolutely adore, you can put your birth chart up and then put the transiting planets outside, and you see how they touch your chart. Do they touch a planet? Are they at angles to a planet? I'm going to keep it simple because you can go into midpoints and asteroids and black holes and all this other stuff, and that makes me a little crazy. But, you know, it's how they touch you. As I was going to say, Uranus was 180 degrees away from my Mars-Uranus duo. I went through 5 computers, the electrical system on my automobile, I'm not kidding, and I blew out a TV set. Now, that's me. Not everybody's going to have that problem, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But I know a woman who has a very heavy Pluto influence in her chart, and she has never, ever, ever lived anywhere that she didn't have some kind of sewer problem.
Oh, my God.
I feel so bad for her.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, water mains break in front of her house. You know, her bathtub in one house was constantly backing up. They finally found out that roots had infiltrated the drain pipe, but it only happened to her. Nobody else in the apartment complex had that problem, just her.
Oh, gosh.
And that was not her ruling planet, but that was the planet of influence.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
So planets do have some domination as far as when you were born and all of those things.
Well, think of it this way. If the moon influences us, so, and it's very close, you know, you can get swollen hands and feet if the moon is in the right position. You get the tides with the moon in the right position. We are made up of the stuff of the universe. Okay?
Yeah,
right. So why can't all those things affect us? They're even beginning. There's a branch of astrology that is now looking at quasars and black holes and all these wonderful, amazing things out there in the galaxies, as I said, far, far away. And they touch us. It may take, you know, what is touching us now is from thousands and maybe millions of years ago. But look at the palm of your hand. And in that palm of your hand is the stuff that the stars are made of. So why shouldn't it affect us and influence us?
Oh, that's a beautiful way of saying it, Jackie. I really, really enjoy that visual
you
gave me because it is a beautiful way of saying it. Well, our first half of the show is just about up and we're about ready to take callers. Please go visit us at www.starspsychics.com, and that's stars with a Z. Because we're special, so STARZ psychics.com. And I'd like to give a shout out right now to hang in there, hang on with me, Jackie.
Thank
you so much. I'd like to give a shout out to Stars Candy. Hello, Stars Candy, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, thank you for joining us today, and also for Stars Nadia, who is listening today, for y'all coming in. And we are about to open up to callers. I have Sue on the first line, and I'm going to keep the mic open, Candy, in case you either you or Jackie or I might be able to answer Sue's question. Sue, you're live on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you so much for hanging on and for listening tonight.
You're welcome.
We're very appreciative that you've come in. Please, what is your question for us this evening, either on astrology or whatever question you may have, and we'll be glad to help answer it.
When do you see is a good thing for a companion or boyfriend love life this year?
Okay, that when we were talking about astrology, you'd probably be be very beneficial to you to get an astrology report from Jackie. And I'm only saying this because astrology seems to put time frames together a little better. Is that correct, Jackie?
Yes, it does. I would look at the Mars and Venus transits for her, and I would look at the basic relationship of them within her chart.
Yeah. And as far as your energy, Sue, usually what we attract love into our lives by the kind of love we put out there. And from what I'm feeling about you is you may have a need to change your routine somehow or to attract more love into your life. And maybe, Candy, you might have you picked up something on Sue?
I don't know. There's a lot of mixed energies. I feel a lot of mixed energies around you at this time. And I feel you being pulled in several different directions, and you really don't know which way to go. So finding a direct road to go on when you come to that fork is going to be imperative that you pick the right one.
Well, basically, Sue, from what I'm picking up, too, is that you have to change your routine. I'm picking up a past relationship that may have not gone well and been a big disappointment. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm hoping he'll call, but I don't know if he will.
Yeah, it seems like that he's kind of like in the past because he's kind of felt him sort of moved on, and you're trying to move on forward to another, you know, to attract love into your life. So you'll have to let go of the past in order for that to happen, my dear. So that's
I have.
Yeah, it's just, and so it'll be it'll take time. But see, from what I also pick up from you is that you're joyful. You have joy in your, you have been joyful, and you are grateful in your life for the good things that happened to you. And you're pretty optimistic. And you can latch on to these positive qualities of you and just continue to have fun in your life. You've been funny. People find you attractive in your being. So just latch on to that and keep on keeping on. You're going to attract someone into your life probably within the next year or so. But I'm feeling that energy about you that, yeah, you've had some difficulties in the past, but you're looking at the future very optimistically, and that's the key to attracting love. Okay?
I think I'll have to wait a year, though, or just, you know.
Oh, no. I said, you know, you just, you know, you wouldn't have to wait a year, but I can't say he's coming next week. You know, it's all about you.
Do you see that person ever calling again in the past? Or?
No, I don't. I don't see that. I see that kind of
moving
on.
Yeah, I don't foresee that either.
Yeah. We're not seeing that. So letting go of that is the best thing you can do for yourself at this point.
All right, Gina. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you so much. God bless you. Take care now. Now, do we have any other callers out there, Candy, that may want to? I believe Tony has a question.
Yes, we have Tony holding on the line for a question.
Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Tony. Please,
how are you?
Good. What is your question for us this evening, and we'll get started?
Just what you see for me for the next month, any type of change as far as career.
What's your profession, dear?
Right now, I'm a flip tech.
Okay, because I see, well, what I'm seeing here is that's not going to be your profession forever. You have a whole lot of talents that I pick up from you. You're probably an old soul. People probably trust you, strangers on the streets. And people will tell you their life story. Is that true,
yes.
Tony? Okay, I
yes.
thought so. And what you have going on for you, girl, is that you have a lot of talents. So I'm seeing you moving. Your basic talent is going to be building your own business. That'll be in the future, though. But I see you going back to school, and I see some other energy here going on to where you will move forward. Yeah. As far as your career now, you're not going to lose your job or anything like that, but I just see you moving forward. You're not going to be there forever. Okay, so there's just more coming up that's exciting and good for you. And just going back to school or going back to some retraining is the key to your success, is what I keep seeing here.
All right.
Okay,
I hope that is. Yeah, because I applied for a position. I don't know if that would have been a possible, do you see that being my next career move or anything like that.
What do you think, Candy? Have you been picking up on that?
There's too many energies going on right now.
So I'll just think, the basic thing, Tony, is from what I'm seeing is promotions or a moving forward is what's happening in this the rest of this year. So in the job you have, you'll either get promoted or go to that to the position that you're looking at. So I see you moving forward either way.
I am hoping for that one. I think that was that was my dream job.
Oh, well, that's
hoping for it.
Yeah. Well, you will keep on keeping on. I'll tell you what you do as far as manifesting the job that you want. Here's a little exercise that I do to create abundance in my life. I sit back and I close my eyes and I start to see myself working in that position, doing that job, like I'm doing it every single day. And then what I do, I light a green candle at night. And I let that candle, I'll focus on that candle and see myself getting that job. And, you know, just focus on it for a few minutes. You don't have to stare at it till your eyes pop out or anything like that. But these are just few little things that have helped. Another thing, and I'll tell you a very ancient gypsy way of creating abundance, and this is up to you if you want to do it. But in the old days, my grandmother, who was a tarot reader in Spain, what she would do, she would get every denomination of coin, a dollar, a quarter, a 50 cent. Of course, in Spain, they had different money, but I'm just telling you this money. America, a dollar, a quarter, a 50 cent, a penny, a dime, and a nickel. And she put it underneath the rug, the welcome mat underneath, and then she covered it with sea salt around, and she'd put it in the full moon. And she'd say, money, money on the floor, money come and fly through my door. And within a few days, she'd either get the money or she'd sell something or just out of the blue, a check in the mail. And it was just crazy. But it works. And I've done it myself.
I need to do that.
Yeah, you might want to try those little ancient folkloric ways of bringing abundance into your life. But the main thing, and let's talk about the modern way, the modern way is to be positive. Be grateful for what you got now. You know, I have a gratitude journal that I write in. Not every day, I should every day, but I always write a little something I'm grateful for. And that gratitude out into the universe brings just more back to you, you know, especially when it's coming from the heart. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, Tony, you have a great future ahead of you. I see a lot of great things for you. And if you ever need a reading, call Stars Christina or anybody at starspsychics.com, and we'll be glad to give you a detailed reading. We have the best prices on the Internet, okay? God bless you, sweetie, and God bless your family. Take care now.
Thank you, likewise. Bye-bye.
And so here I thank you very much, Tony and Sue, when you were out there for calling in. We're always happy to take calls from our listeners. Are there anybody else, Candy, that you know that may want to have
reading? Yeah, we've got area code 608. Do you have a question? Hello, area code 608?
Area code 608, yes.
Do you have a question?
Yes.
And what's your name, sweetie?
Yes, I'd like to know how my jewelry business is going to take off this year.
Oh, what is your first name, dear?
Carol.
Oh, Carol. First of all, thanks so much, Carol, for joining us today. And I'm so excited that you're actually asking about this question, because as soon as I heard your voice, I started to see the colors and the coordination, the flair that you have, the passion that you have for this, you know, for making jewelry. And so all this is going to bring you to some success here. I do see a few little self-doubt, of course, but that's to be expected. We all have to battle that at one time or another. But I'm seeing that you're not as worried as you would be at one time, that you're more, I don't know, that you are more positive about your jewelry business, you know, It's going to do very well, actually. It's going to be slow, and that's okay. You're selling online on Etsy and all those places?
That is the plan eventually, yes.
Yeah, that is the plan, because I see that happening and great success on that one. Although you have to augment your, you have to sell everywhere, Facebook, everywhere. And I do see you making it happen. And it's been a dream of yours for a while. I see you working. Are you have a job now, too, or you're just devoting to the
jewelry? No, I don't. I'm actually newly retired as of 2012.
Oh, okay. So you have, oh, congratulations. So you do have a lot of positive things going on. And because of your creative energy and your passion for it, and you're good at it, and I can see that people have admired it, have you already sold at craft shows and have a store and all that stuff? Because I see a store, I see a web store, I see Etsy, I see a lot of things going on. So evidently you're retired, but you're not retired.
Yeah, I've had at least three different requests for different websites already. Right now I have to get together enough material so I can get everything out there. And it's just me making it.
Oh,
my work
yeah,
is very, very detailed. My work is very detailed. So
I can see that. I mean, I can feel that from our energy, that it's very detailed and that you'll do very well at it. And I really am very excited for you. You say you're retired, but you're not really. But at least in this second half of your life, you can really enjoy what you're doing more than ever and put your soul and your essence into each piece. And that's what makes it so beautiful. But anyway, I wish you lots of success. Actually, I do see it. Just give yourself some patience and, you know, keep on keeping on, like I always say. Okay?
Okay.
And remember, Carol, if you ever want to get an astrology report from Jackie, she is available at starpsychics.com, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Bye-bye now. Oh, my goodness. My dog decided to be on the radio for some reason. He just likes to bark. And I don't know exactly what sign he is, but that reminds me, Jackie.
Yes.
Do you do pet astrology?
I do. It's better with purebreds because you can go to the breeder and you can find out when the puppies were born. I've got a poodle sitting next to me. I like to say that she's bilingual. She's very bright. She has trained me very well. She's a Taurus, and she has a Capricorn moon, and she has Cancer rising, so she is all about routine and food and loving up people. She goes crazy. Somebody comes in the driveway, and she acts as if she has been on a desert island for 30 years. She just runs to them, and she fawns, and she bows, and she licks their hand. It's amazing. But
they say that dogs are psychic and that dogs are smarter than people. Well, I heard that poodles are the smartest breed.
They're the second smartest. The first smartest are the border collies.
Oh, really? Yes,
mm-hmm.
I had a lovely border collies can
play chess with the sheep.
Okay.
Literally. I mean, they can look at the sheep and they can almost tell to the which of the sheep is going to move first, and then they run and they keep them in line. But poodles, oh yeah, this one, my mother and I would say something in another language, and don't you know, within a day, I'd say it in that language, and she'd go run to do whatever it was that I had said that I was going to do with her.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was without being shown.
That's great. I think we have another caller now. Hold on just a second. Let me see if Tim wanted a question answered. If my Tim,
yeah,
are you with
Tim,
us?
You're live.
I'm here.
Oh,
yeah,
you
were
there? Okay, great, Tim. Did you have a question for us that you'd like to ask?
General. I just wanted to see what you guys, girls, have seen or see regarding a love relationship or anything around work. You see.
Okay. Well, I'm picking you to be kind of a man that has that where still waters run deep. In other words,
okay.
that you might be a little bit shy sometimes, and perhaps you're not a player, so you're a gentleman, and I pick that up on you. And sometimes the women just don't seem to like the good guys. It seems that way. At least maybe you felt that way at some point or another. But as far as love goes, because of your demeanor and your humility, I feel that you will be, attracting love into your life in the very near future. Do you pick up anything on him, Candy?
I'm picking up a lot of things that I don't prefer to say here on the show.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, Tim, you can always go and get a reading with Stars Candy at starpsychics.com. But from what I pick up on you, it's a lot of a very gentle spirit. As far as work goes, I see what is your profession? I see a lot of talents, a lot of different things here. I see you good with your hands and good with your head, maybe you do computers, but what is your profession?
I'm in a university setting in the retail end.
Oh, okay, in the retail end. Okay, so I do see a lot of, I see you changing some aspect about yourself, perhaps getting in better shape or in better health, something like that. I see you moving forward here. As far as work goes, that's going to be, you've chosen the right profession for yourself. You can be a soft salesman type, even though I don't see you as a salesman. I see you more an executive. I see you letting go of a past relationship that might have been painful. Were you married at one time, Tim?
No. Almost.
Okay. Almost. So that might have been the relationship that I see you letting go of, and onward and upward, right, Tim? And I do see you doing very well in the next 8 months. In 8 weeks, you might be feeling a little stressed regarding school or work or whatever, but I do see some stress coming up. And this summer, I see some work. I see money, so I'm not sure where that money is coming from, but it's obviously looks like a work-related issue. But that's pretty much generally what we pick up, Tim. And if you want an in-depth reading, just give us a call at starpsychics.com. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Thanks. And so, moving right along, and I need to probably keep talking, but anyway, I don't have that dead air in there. But anyway, Stars Jackie, and this is Stars Christina, by the way. I'm the host, Stars Christina. My picture is scrolling somewhere on Blog Talk Radio so that y'all could see me. I say y'all, I'm originally from the South. I was raised in Texas, born in Germany. My father was in the military, and my mother was a Spaniard, is a Spaniard still. It's a very difficult one to boot sometimes. But anyways, and my name again is Stars Christina. And we were talking about the dogs. I've had, I believe that when we go to heaven, that's the first thing we got to see is our dogs and our cats.
Yes. Yes.
Because I believe that's the way it should be. But my dog, I'm not sure. I have rescue dogs, so I don't know when they were born. I have to pick up on them spiritually, instead of through astrology, because they're very, I have one that's a mixed Shih Tzu and Pomeranian. Rescued him, and then I have a Rhodesian Ridgeback, sorta. I say sorta because she looks like a Rhodesian Ridgeback exactly, except that you don't know because she came from the pound. So we don't know what she is.
I love those sortas. They're the sweetest dogs.
I know. So I've got a lot of sortas, and of course I love cats. Uh-huh. Out here, I live in an area where it's a lot of wilderness and woods, so my cats have disappeared by eagles, or have, the eagles had landed on them and taken them away, so I decided I couldn't go through the heartbreak of the cats anymore.
I'll tell you what,
not until I move.
My poodle knows when the red-tailed hawk is out, and she won't go off the porch. No, she's small enough, and fortunately, there are enough critters around that the hawk doesn't need her. But she just instinctively would not go off the porch when you heard that chee, chee of the hawk going overhead.
Oh, yeah, because dogs are smart. Yeah, my dogs, they do that, too. I walk my dogs out here, and the little one now, interestingly enough, I live where bears are, and I heard that the little dogs can scare a bear off pretty quickly. I hadn't seen that face-to-face, but somebody explained to me that they had a little dog with them, and the little dog started barking like crazy, and the bear just ran away.
Yeah.
And they say it's because the bear cannot reach the dog. The little dog is so down on the ground, under, you know, down close to the ground that it's hard for the bear to reach it, and they kind of get scared of it. So I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting thing about bears and dogs. But anyway, getting back to the stars, it looks like the bears and dogs. Getting back to the stars, you were saying something about the black holes and an interesting other aspect of astrology, and that all these things influence us in some way. I'm kind of interested in the black hole concept. What have you read about that?
Basically, it's black holes are just one more influence, one more thing that touches us. They are, of course, energy, and their location influences us one way or another. I mean, it's like, all right, let's take Pluto, since you were talking about him earlier.
Yeah.
We get the impression that Pluto is so far away. But remember, there's matter and energy, and Pluto, even if there are there are molecules out there, but you know, they talk about dark energy and holes in space and all these other things, you know, where there is supposed to be no matter. But think of throwing a pebble into a pond, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's tiny. Even if it's the size of a dime and the pond is, let's say, half an acre,
mm-hmm.
You throw that pebble in and eventually every single molecule of water in that pond will be touched one way or another by that pebble going in. All the shoreline will be touched. And it's just this little dime-sized pebble. So if you look at Pluto as being that small, and our solar system being the size of that half-acre pond, as Pluto moves, it affects us. Now, black holes, they may be light years away, millions of miles away.
Well, I know the Milky Way, I was watching this on the Universe or Discovery Channel, whatever, the Milky Way, the very center, when you were talking about throwing that little pebble or a tiny...
There's a black hole.
The very, is a black hole. So the Milky Way is constantly... And I'm wondering how that might influence people, or if that would influence a chart, or is it strictly just the planets that we need to be looking
at? No, it's... I talk about things that are beyond our solar system as the spice in the dish, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The planets create the dish itself. They create the flavor, the texture, the whether it's hot or cold in your life. But that black hole in the middle of our universe is seasoning. Where it falls in our chart is where it influences us. And since black holes don't move as rapidly as the planets, they kind of stay stationary in one point in your chart, since we do, you know, we live a finite number of years. So that black hole isn't going to move maybe a minute or two of degree in your chart.
Wow.
So it will sit in that particular house, touching your birth planets, touching your ascendant, touching the different angles in your chart, seasoning it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what, it's right now the galactic center in that black hole is considered to be in Sagittarius. So wherever Sagittarius is in a person's chart, that's where that black hole will add some seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
I think I touched on earlier, there are asteroids, there are comets, there are quasars, there are, I'm running out of names, I know, they're all, you know, they're all in my head. Each of them has a small influence on us, and it's, you need to, again, you need to either go online and look up what I said was an ephemeris, which is the position of different things in the universe.
Right.
And it will tell you what degree this galactic center is and what degree these quasars are and the other black holes and stuff. And then you look at your chart and you overlay your chart with these different points and you can see where the influences are. That the galactic center, the black hole at the middle of our galaxy, is in my 10th house of reputation and vocation, and it's supposed to be the father, but it's the most influential parent in your life. Mine happens to be Sagittarius. My mother's rising sign was Sagittarius, and you better believe, Mom was she was the one that cracked the whip. But,
yeah.
You know, the black hole is there, and when something crosses that particular degree, and I say, what was that? What was that hiccup? What made me have a headache? What made me stub my toe? I don't do that too often, but every once in a while, something really pushes in. And
right.
I'll go looking, and I'll pull up all the different, you know, the list of things that I have, and I go, okay, there's that black hole, and here's a couple of planets that were touching it.
Wow, that's very interesting, Jackie. Well, we've got 3 more minutes, and I have another question, one more. And it's
okay.
Just, what should people ask astrologers? What are the questions that, what can be revealed? I mean, can they ask about jobs? What can a person ask an astrologer?
You can ask an astrologer any question that you can ask any other reader. Seriously.
Okay.
As I said, because you have different meanings to the different parts of your chart, an astrologer will look at, let's say, the 6th house for your work environment. Okay?
Okay.
You've got Jupiter in the 6th house. Okay. That can mean prosperity. It can mean a comfortable job. It can also mean, depending on how it's aspected or how other planets touch it, that you're a little lazy, that you're an idea person, but you need somebody else to help you follow through.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's say you've got Saturn, the taskmaster, the foundation builder, the planet of structure, touching that Jupiter. Well, you're either going to learn a new skill, or you're going to get more structured in what you do, or you're going to end up in a job that requires you to be structured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I can give a person those 3 insights, but then I'm taking one piece of it. If Mars influences it and Venus and Pluto, then it colors it totally differently. It's almost like when you're doing eggs and you dunk them and you make them one color, and then you take a brush and you dip it in another color and you touch it while the egg is still wet, and those colors bleed together.
Wow.
Okay?
Well,
look at how the planets touch each other, they bleed together and form the different colors of your life.
That's a beautiful way of putting it there, Jackie. But I have to wrap it up. We're in the last 50 seconds of the show. I want to thank everyone who's called in, everyone who's in the chat rooms, and we hope that you'll call in sometime for during our call-in session. I want to give a special thank you to Sheila and a special thank you to Shelley White Wolf, both stars, Sheila and Shelley White Wolf. I'd like to thank Natalie and Priestess Candy, of course, for coming in to help us this evening. And everyone have a great night, and thank you so much, stars Natalie, the owner who's always listening in. We see her on the board. Thank you, Natalie. God bless everyone, and come back to see us next week, Thursday night at 7 p.m. We're changing the time to 7 p.m. Next Thursday night, 7 p.m. Thank you so much, and God bless.